comes as quite a shock to us. I can't imagine the world without me in it. Can you imagine the world without you in it? But it will be true one day. The world will be without you and will be without me. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You and I know that, don't we? So would God say the same to you and me? Set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. You better believe that he would. But I would hope that we could say the same thing as Hezekiah said back to God. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. How many of us can say that and say it truthfully? Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. And God gave him 15 more years. The announcement wasn't final in Hezekiah's case, was it? He talked God out of 15 years, and he lived to regret it, didn't he? It's too bad we can't accept the wisdom of God when he said you've had enough. It's too bad we beg for more, sometimes to our own sorrow. But because we know neither the day nor the hour, Peter said, seeing we look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You can't get any better than that, can you? And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The longer the Lord delays calling your name, the more time you have to get ready. I went to a funeral one time, and the minister said, this was a mother who had passed away, the Lord spoke and took your daddy. The Lord spoke and now he's taken your mama. The next time he speaks, it'll be you. As Adam sinned, God ruled then that every man should die physically. Only two exceptions to that in the Bible. Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him. Oh, I would that God would do that with me. That I could say, I walked with God and he took me. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It's a fact confirmed by every person who has ever lived since Adam. They have all died, haven't they? We have a saying, the old must die and the young may. So I will die. You will die. One day they'll wheel in our body in such a container as this, and we will be gone forever. Some man has said that in death is the only time, I want you to listen to this, in death is the only time a man completely submits to the will of God. Did you ever hear a man argue with God about when he would die? every man the most wicked man on earth and the most righteous man on earth will completely submit when God says, "You shall surely die." Some will welcome the release from their body, and others will be fighting tooth and nail every step of the way because they know what's before them. Nonetheless, we will eventually yield to His will, every last person in here, and you will die. If our appointment for the separation of our spirit from our body stood alone, that would be relatively easy, wouldn't it? If, like Rover, I just laid down and died all over, and it was over, that would be easy, wouldn't it? But Paul assures us that although we may ignore it, we may refuse to believe it, we think it'll never happen to us, we act like it's never going to be the fact that we died. In spite of that, Paul says, after that comes the judgment. You believe that? Do you believe God's going to hold you accountable for what you did? Paul says in the Roman letter, the 14th chapter, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me." Oh, you can stiffen yourself and say, "I'm never going to bow the knee to anybody." You will to God. When He says bow, you'll bow. It won't be like the three Hebrew children who says, "I'm not bowing to your idol because I've got a God that can save me from anything you can throw at me." You will bow. And every tongue shall confess. Why wouldn't I want to? Why wouldn't I want to be happy to say that God is my friend? I'm not happy to say it because it's not true if I'm forced to confess His name before God and the angels of heaven. So then every one of us, that means you, and me, every one of us shall give an account of himself. Don't worry about the other fella. You've got enough to worry about yourself. You will give an account of himself to God. In Romans 2 and 3, Paul says, "Thinkest thou this, O man," and at you, if you're listening, "do you think, O man, that you'll escape? That you'll sidestep the issue? That you'll ignore it? That you'll be excused from it? That you won't submit to it? You won't bend your knee to him? Do you think that's going to happen? That you'll just bypass the judgment of God?" Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? If I could just say, "God, I'm going to be absent that day. Or by your own stubborn withholding, do you realize that you are despising God's goodness? God lets you breathe your next breath because He loves you. And if you are in sin, He's letting you breathe so that you'll get smart enough to repent and turn to God. He's so merciful to you and to me that He lets me live another hour, so that I can repent if I have things to repent of. I can confess if I've never confessed. I can be buried in baptism if I have never yielded to that rite." You are laying up for yourselves treasure of terror from God. So Paul says, do I persuade men or do I persuade God? Am I going to be able to talk God into letting me off a little bit just because I'm Marvin Ingle? Perish the thought. It's not going to happen. I don't care who you are. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you enough that He gave His Son. But when it comes the judgment, if you have not yielded to Him, He will say to you, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you because you never knew me." Second Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. Wherefore we labor. Oh, I didn't think you had to work any to be a Christian. Well, apparently Paul thought you did. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent from the body, that means dead or alive, we may be accepted of Him. If God told you that you had to move a mountain, or if God told you that you had to, with your hands, move Sester's Hill up here, or you wouldn't be saved, do you know what you'd be doing tomorrow morning? Do you know what you'd be doing tonight? You'd be scratching with your fingernails to get enough dirt to carry it away. And you would work furiously, wouldn't you? Oh, we're smart enough to do that in things material. Why, oh, why aren't we smart enough to do it in spiritual things? He said that we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. You notice he didn't say that everyone may receive whether they believed or not. It's what you did about what you believed. And let's face it, fellows, some of us aren't doing very much by anybody's standard. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in the glory, and all His holy angels with Him, He will sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. That's you and me and everybody we know, and everybody we've ever known. And He will separate them. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Because if I were the one that was separating them, I'd have goats mixed up with the sheep and sheep mixed up with the goats. He will say to one, "Come ye blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom. From the other, depart you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now I know all of us are entertaining, well, I'm going to be the one that He says come to. Peter said to Jesus, "Everybody else will deny you, but not me, Lord. It won't be me." "Oh, Peter," he says, "you poor soul. You are so overconfident that before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied you even knew me three times." And we are almost on that solid a basis when we look to ourselves and are so cocksure. And I want you to hear the conditions why He separates. I was hungry. I was naked. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was sick. And you took care of all those things. And you know the rest of the story. But I want to emphasize that not a one of those things, no one in this house can say, "I can't do that." We are going to be so helpless and so hopeless if we have not done what the Lord said when He said to do it, that when we get there, we'll have nothing to say. Our mouths will be shut. Are you as ready to face the Lord of your life as was Hezekiah? Can you say to God, "Remember what I've done"? Are you as ready as Job, who in the 29th chapter reviews all the good things that he did? How he relieved the widow and fed the poor and brought joy to people who didn't have any. Job enumerates a whole line of those things that he had done, not that he was going to do. That's me. I'm going to do those things, but I haven't got them done yet. That's why I'm not ready for this. If you have them all done, then sit back and relax because you're ready. Paul, who was the chief of sinners, mortified the flesh and could truthfully say, I am now ready. How many of us can say, I am now ready, Lord, just take me anytime you want to? Why could he say that? Because I fought a good fight. I fought the fight for good, we might say. I have finished my course. Some of us get tired before we get to the end of the course, and so we sit down in the middle of the track and wait for the whistle to blow that the race is over. I have kept the faith. How can I know? Is the big question. How can I know at any time that I am get set? Do you remember when I was in grade school and we raced, the teacher said, get set. What did that mean? I'm on my mark. Get ready. And then go. How can I get set, so to speak, spiritually? In Daniel, the 10th chapter, God told Daniel, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for them. Daniel knew what he wanted. He set his heart to understand. He set his mind to chasten himself so that he would meet the conditions. Ezra went to look at Jerusalem. On the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart. You know as well as I that in the Bible the heart is the mind. Got your thinking straight? If you haven't got your thinking straight, you'll never be straight with God. But Ezra had prepared his heart what to do, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? This is what is so wonderful about Jesus. He not only could tell you what to do, but he said, I'll show you how to do it. God bless him. And God bless you if you can do the same. Last but not least, to teach Israel your statutes and judgments. You see, he didn't just worry about himself. Paul said, for I am determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, we used to make fun and laugh at Brother Loney. All of you who knew him, I still miss him. I wish he were here to bring another lesson. He could take my place very easily. He never brought a lesson that he didn't include Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I am determined. That's all I know. I don't have to know all about Ashtaroth. I don't have to know about Baal and all those other fool gods. If I know Jesus Christ, I'm ready, aren't I? Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may be win Christ, that I may be found in him, that I may know him. Paul? You mean Paul didn't know whether he was found in Christ or not? He didn't know him? This is the Apostle Paul. If he didn't know him, I haven't got a ghost of a chance, have I? If by any means, oh, I wish I could capture that thought, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, of course, meaning the righteous dead. You that were sometimes alienated, Paul said, and enemies in the mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled to present you holy, unblameable in his sight. But there's a great big if comes in the word there. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. It makes me weep when someone with whom I've shared the gospel, someone with whom I've worked for a great deal, and they go off chasing after butterflies. We are settled and grounded when we are determined to be content with what God has given us, when we say and do as he tells us, then we are grounded. We announce it to ourselves and to God, as for me and my house, everything that I have control over, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many people have you ever heard say that and really mean it? I don't care if the wind blows, if the storms come, or what happens. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Until you get that straight in your mind, you are not fully persuaded that he is what he has promised he's able to perform. You are ready to go when you know God. How do I know God? 1 John says, hereby do we know that we know him. You don't have to guess about it. You know God if you keep his commandments. Paul warns us in the Thessalonian letter, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. This is not going to be a picnic, folks. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. He's mad as a hornet. And who is he mad at? On those who know not God. That scares me. When I sit and listen to people like Jim and all the others that have been teaching, and I'm green with envy that I don't know half as much as they do. I wonder if God's going to use the fire on me. I don't need to wonder. I know that if I don't know him, those who obey not the gospel, that's you people who have never made a commitment to God. Most of us here have obeyed the gospel, haven't we? And we pat ourselves on the back. Good for you. Bless your little heart. But if I were to give you a test over the book of Acts tonight of 1,000 questions, could you pass 900 of them? Now that's just facts. And that's not really knowing God. Knowing God is becoming intimate with him. But that's what I learned from the facts, isn't it? We know, number two, how you can know that you are ready. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. I I love some of the brethren. Those that agree with me. I don't care for some of the others. I like your looks sometimes, and other times I don't care for it. I can be patient with you sometimes, and sometimes I flip my lid and let you know, give you a piece of my mind that I can't spare, really. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If a man came in here tonight with a submachine gun and said that he was going to shoot all of you or he's going to shoot me, would I step out and say, shoot me? I don't think so. I'm too big a coward. We are ready when we can say with Paul, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. If you're not concerned about those people out there who are losing their soul tonight, you can just put in your little black book that you're losing yours too. You know yourself. You know you are ready when you've lost yourself in Christ. Not just made a promise to Him. Not just did some little thing. Not just believed what He said. When you lose yourself in Christ, then you're ready. A man once said, it's not man's responsibility to save his soul. It's his responsibility to lose his soul intelligently. You think about that. The more you chew on that, the bigger it gets. It's not my responsibility to save me, because the Lord has already done all the work that needs to be done for me to be saved, hasn't He? It's just my stubborn will that keeps me from yielding. It's my responsibility to lose my soul to Christ. Just completely vanish. There's no more left of me. Just Christ living in me, as Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am ready because in my mind I've rehearsed going. This is why we passed by this casket. You knew there was a trick to it, didn't you? You knew you weren't going to be put in this basket. But when you looked in that mirror and saw you, did you think in your mind, I wonder what I'd do if that were me? Are you all ready? It could be you. It could be me. It could be anybody. Some of us have a difficult time facing the fact that one day we will no longer be. But the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. You know, something you do every day, it isn't a bit difficult to do, is it? You breathe every day? Is it hard? Go to sleep every day? Is that hard? You practice it? Do you have to practice breathing? No, you don't have to practice breathing. But if you were in an iron lung, you'd sure be glad you had it, wouldn't you, if you needed it? Have you ever thought what's going to happen when you die? Paul said, I know what's going to happen when I die. I'm going to go to a better place. A better place than this. I'm going to be with Jesus. And I just practiced that. You know, when I was in the service, I was gone for 3 years. I was one among the first 18-year-olds to go.
to serve my country.
I'm glad I went to serve, even if I was drafted. Hindsight's always better than foresight, isn't it? I was gone for 3 years. And when I was lying in a field in France where it was raining and it was snowing and it was cold, I thought how wonderful it would be to just go home to Mom and Dad for one night. Do you practice dying? What's it going to be like? Can your fondest imagination even give you a picture of it? Can't you see Jesus standing there like my mother did with her arms out, ready to give you a big hug and kiss? Put a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, and the best clothing he's got. Kill the fatted calf. We are celebrating. Because here's somebody who made it. There was a man one time who had everything figured out. And I know a lot of people like this. He was a big, rich farmer. Something like Gilbert Fitz. You know he's a rich farmer? He knows it. He's a rich farmer. Has nowhere to bestow his goods. I'll tear down my barns and build greater, and then I'll say to my soul, that isn't Gilbert. But that's what this guy said. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to retire and just lay back. God said, you fool, this night, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, tonight, your soul will be required of you. I want you to suppose with me that God said that to you. When you make your big horsey plans, when you're going to do everything without God, when you don't need your brother, when you're on easy street. It's like a friend of mine said to me the other day, we just thought we were getting going. We had two cars, a $7,000 entertainment center. He's making money and I'm making money. We're stuffing it away like mad. And what happened? One of my trees fell right across his convertible that he was restoring. Oh, he was just sick and bald for a whole day. She did. Suppose God said to you, I'm not included in your plan, am I? Let me give you a little hint. I'm going to be at the end of your plan, whether you include me or not. Would that change your mind? A man was talking to a man about his soul. And he said, I'll think about it. Oh, well, how long do you want me to let you think? Shall I come back in a year? Well, I don't know whether I'll be here in a year. Well, how about a month? I don't know whether I'll be here in a month either. How about an hour? Did this man have time to think about it? I don't read it. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I'm saying to you, every last one of us, live as if tonight was the last night you're ever going to see. And if you're waiting for time, all you have is right now. That's why you would be smart. You would be intelligent. You would please God and everybody here if you you would come forward tonight. Confess your faith in the Lord Jesus. Repent of the sins that you know about and learn what other sins you need to know about. And be buried with the Lord in baptism and rise up to walk in a new life. Just like you died and gone to heaven. If you do that, you're ready. Are you ready? I'm not going to ask you again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. We all say, come. Can you sit there and tell God, oh, just a little longer, please? If you do, I hope he hears you. Because he didn't, this man, did he? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then what happens to your plan? It just went out the window, didn't it? Would you accept him tonight as this group stands and sings the invitation number? Which is, don't you want to be ready to go? Or are you going without him? No, you're not going without him. He's going along. Whether he says to the right or to the left is up to you. Let's stand and sing.